It is time now for Making Sausage, where we take a look at the messy business of politics and elections with Colleen Nardone, our DFL commentator. And Colleen, today you wanted to talk to Representative Julie Sandstead. She's a DFLer from Hibbing. She represents District 6A, and she joins us now. First and foremost, Julie, how are the roads?
Well, I'm actually staying home this morning, so my roads are great.
Okay, good.
but they are slippery over here.
All right. Well, let's take a look at the session ahead. I know it's the committee appointments. Had they been announced?
They have not been announced. And we are all eagerly waiting. All of the House members have been able to put in their requests with prioritizing their committees 1 through 6 as far as what they hope to be on, and then different subcommittees. But we have not heard anything back. We were told originally maybe around the 21st and then received the message that it might be closer to the start of the year. So we wait anxiously.
What are your preferences?
Well, for me, K-12 education finance is a no-brainer. This is, I think, probably one of my strongest areas. So anything in education, either the finance or policy, would be a good fit for me. I've asked for bonding, for taxes, for environment, policy, or finance committees there. Transportation would be fine, too. I mean, really, all of the committees are important, and they touch our area, every one of them. Every one of them matters. So I'll be happy wherever I land, but those are the things that I put in requests for.
Julian, over the years, Colleen Nardone and Heidi and I have talked about, I remember going way back when committees were really where the grind and the dirty work and the substance
right.
work was done. But in recent years, we've seen how, you know, we come down to the deadline and these big bills are thrown together. And a lot of you, even on ones who are on committees, don't know what's in a whole bill. Do you hope for, I guess, for some kind
Absolute
of different process?
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
Yeah, so again, you know, I'm pretty new at all of this. I only have 1 term under my belt, 2 years, and certainly my experience down in St. Paul has been exactly what you've described. Certainly we do some committee work and we flesh out issues, but the end game comes in those omnibus bills, and that is, those are put together outside of the committees. Those are put together with leadership, and there's a lot of things in there that most people aren't aware of. And that's been an outcry, definitely, on both sides of the aisle. This is really not a partisan thing, but there's been an outcry on that issue. The fact that, for instance, one of our omnibus bills was almost 900, almost 1,000 pages long on 11 by 14 and a half paper, double-sided. So this is just giving you an idea of how monstrous the omnibus bills are. And when you have less than an hour to take it all in and try to figure out what's in there, that's impossible. That is absolutely impossible. And I actually took that bill to all of my town halls, and I was showing people, this is how the government is working currently, and we're quite truthfully not working. That is not good governing, in my opinion. And so one of the things that I'm really hoping to see a change in, and one of the things that Governor-elect Walz has talked about in his listening sessions, is putting an end to that kind of governing. And so I am very hopeful that we will not be seeing that. At least having 24 hours to go through an omnibus bill would be some real common sense approach. And I think we may see some of that.
What about the transparency, Julie? If the leadership does it all in the last few days, where's the opportunity for public testimony?
Well, that's just it. There isn't. And so, of course, you know, we're told that all the public comments and stuff have taken place during committee, and what's in the omnibus bill is really a result of what's coming out of committee, but it's never in the same form that you heard about it in committee. You know, things morph and change as things move through committee. And even after they're out of committee, moving into an omnibus bill, you're still seeing, you know, at least they look different than maybe when I heard about them initially. So it's just not a good practice. And I think that is a sentiment that resonates across the state. And again, I'm just really hopeful that we will see some change in that area and get back to some healthy governing.
It has been a tradition in the past that when we've talked to people that the caucus got together late in November and put together what they thought were the important items for the agenda. Did you do that this year?
We did have a meeting back in November, and it wasn't so much our focal areas as much as it was electing leadership within our caucus. So we did a lot of work around those areas. We did have some conversation about topics that we're going to be facing, nothing hardcore, you know, out there. The things that I think we can expect to see for sure coming out of our caucus is going to be something in taxes. And honestly, I don't think we're going to see any major changes to what is currently in place because of the there isn't going to be turnaround with the software that's been developed with the new, you know, compliance issues this year. I think you're going to see a lot of work done for next year. Certainly, there's the whole cannabis conversation taking place, and I don't see any hard, fast direction within our caucus of where this is going or that it is a priority, but it is a topic of conversation. We had a breakout group on gun violence, common sense solutions, prevention, different things like that. And then, of course, you know, areas or issues across the state. For me, I'm always banging the drum on rural Minnesota, and those issues include things like broadband and child care, you know, affordability and access. Healthcare is a universal issue. Transportation is a universal issue in our state. So you're going to see a lot in those areas.
We're speaking with Julie Sandstead. She's a DFL state rep from Minnesota House District 6A, serving the Hibbing and surrounding areas of Hibbing. Julie, just this week, the federal government, Congress, holy cow, passed a bill that looks like it had a lot of bipartisan support. It looks like the president will sign it, and it has to do with prison sentencing reform, a lot of reforming of the way where we have these sentencing laws, but it applies only to federal prisons. And I wonder, has anybody talked about that kind of reform of our prison and sentencing system in Minnesota? Has that come up in any conversations?
Not specifically to prisons, but reform in sentencing in different areas. We've had some conversations around that. So I'm really encouraged to see what happened in the bipartisan support on the federal level. I certainly think if we were to get into some of these issues at the state level, there would definitely be bipartisan support. It's time for a little bit of cleanup for sure in many different areas. So I think there would be some buy-in to that for sure.
I'd like to go bounce back to taxes for just a second. The conformity, I know that my husband is at home listening because he's the tax preparer in our family, and he's very concerned about this year that we, and now what you're saying, which does make sense, but I want to make sure I understand it, is you will be working on conformity, but probably there, it's going to be too complicated to get anything done in time for this filing year.
That is my understanding. There was a conversation that took place. I wasn't part of that conversation. What the information I received following the conversation was basically the software has already been developed, so taxes can be prepared this upcoming, you know, January or whatever for 2018. And to do anything about it now would be awfully difficult to make drastic changes in this short amount of time is really unrealistic. So I think what's going to happen is we're going to see a year of, call it status quo, if you will, with a tremendous amount of work going into the conformity and other issues for the following year with perhaps like a rebate or something to offset what's going to happen in this upcoming year.
Great. You anticipated my next question and answered it already.
Oh, perfect.
I was looking for a rebate. Excellent.
That's our hope.
Julie, are there any bills that you're personally going to be sponsoring or things you're looking at for your district?
Always things regarding broadband, child care. Those are huge things up here. I have a bill prepared regarding telemarketers using your cell phones and banning that. You know, just some privacy type of things there. Lots of things in education coming up. I'll probably be the chief author on the education bill. So those are the things I'm anticipating now. And my heart is always about doing the work of my constituents first. And so in addition to seeing statewide policy or statewide initiatives that I'll be working on, it'll be things that are coming up on local levels.
I was wondering about your how it feels different coming back as a majority member.
Well, I haven't had the opportunity to experience the majority yet, but I am told it's a whole lot more fun. I don't know. I've enjoyed it tremendously, even in the minority. But I think we're going to be very, very busy. We're already moving offices with the majority. Apparently, you're on the higher levels of the state office building. And
yeah.
So there's a lot of packing and moving and, you know, logistics and stuff that are taking place right now. We have new assignments with our legislative assistants that we're waiting to hear on, and a lot of shuffling of staff and personnel, you know, within different areas. So I'm hoping that'll all shake out. There is a great deal of energy around being in the majority, and it's easier, apparently, to get things done. I know last year, and I'll just throw this out as an example, this is an example of not good governing, in my opinion. I carried the St. Louis County Civil Service Bill, and this was a bill that was the result of over 10 years of work in St. Louis County between administration and employees and labor unions, 10 years of work, and they all came to Peace in the Valley, and we had the bill. And it really was just kind of updating their employment laws. And it went through committee unanimously. No fights there at all. It was all, you know, green boards all the way across. And then came the opportunity to have it heard on the floor in order to actually finalize it. And leadership went tiered on the floor. And I was stumped. I thought this is one of the easiest things. This would be an all green board. There's been no opposition. We'd hear it and we'd probably be done with it in a matter of 5 minutes or less. And they would not hear it on the floor. And it never did get a hearing on the floor, and it never did get passed. And when I asked about why would that be, why would we not do that? That is, to me, absolute common sense. I was given the answer, well, Julie, you're a freshman and you're in the minority. And you sit in front of the board, and the last thing they want in an election year is a picture of you with an all-green board behind you. And that's just one of the things that, you know, will need to change. And I think we're going to just get things done. And right now, I do know that Senator Kazalka and Leader Melissa Hortman have already been meeting. You know, they've had several meetings, and they've agreed that all of the non-controversial things, like what I just described, are things that will be what the body addresses immediately. The things that are non-controversial, we're going to take action on and pass immediately. The things that absolutely will probably never, will never have consensus on in any way, shape, or form, we may take those off the table completely and then really dedicate the balance of our time in, you know, this session to the gray area, the things that we might not see eye to eye on, but we're going to make progress on. That sounds incredibly hopeful to me. That's just what I think everybody in Minnesota is expecting out of our government.
Well, we're hoping for it anyway.
I agree. And it seems like there's, you know, there's bipartisan buy-in to that sentiment, that approach already. So keep your fingers crossed. To be continued.
I imagine there are, if not freshmen, at least relatively inexperienced legislators on the other side of the aisle who have not been heard very much either and might be looking forward to some floor debates and so forth.
Absolutely.
I think so. It's Representative Julie Sandsteed. She's a DFL representative for House District 6A, serving Hibbing and surrounding areas. You can find information, do a Google search for Julie Sandsted, and you'll get to her site, and you can email or call her office from there. We hope you get a good office this next session, Julie.
The office is the least of my concerns. Thank you. Yes. I appreciate it, though.
Yes. You're listening to the Thursday Morning Show and Making Sausage. I had a chance to check in with Representative Dale Lewick, who represents the Aiken area, and he was also, I didn't realize they switched offices when the majority and minority and get less staff people. Depending on majority and minority.
That's the way it's always been done. It's kind of fun if you're down there that first, about that time and everything's being shuffled around.
Well, Colleen, we have talked over the years about how important committee assignments mm-hmm. are. And there was a time, I think, is Julie, I believe this is her second term she's going into. There was a time when we had chairs of Ways and Means, Environment, Natural Resources in the House and the Senate and other important committees that it was based on seniority, and we had Northern Minnesota legislators in those chairmanships, and it really meant a lot for rural strength and power because a metro area legislator might need something through the Ways and Means that our Northern Minnesota representative, he was the person you had to go through to get what you wanted. And so we had clout. And I remember we used to almost gloat in the 80s about all the clout we had in rural Minnesota in the committees, because the committees were so important to getting things done.
And the legislators from up here did tend to work together so that you knew if one of them was promoting some big item, that he had the others right there with him to vote for it, and it was a wonderful time for us. But sadly, we don't have the population anymore,
or the seniority,
and that with that went with a lot of the seniority. We still have the minority leader in the Senate is from our listening area,
okay.
Senator Bach. And
now I got a question for you on seniority. John Purcell was in for about. Was a state rep from mm-hmm. Cass Lake, Bemidji area for about 10 years. He lost to Matt Bliss, mm-hmm. and now he re-won his seat this time around. Does he get the seniority?
Yes, he does.
Oh, he gets to keep his seniority.
In fact, he'll probably, I would say he will certainly be a committee chair.
Oh,
because
okay.
with that kind of seniority, it's almost inevitable.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's seniority lasts forever.
All right. Also, the committee process gives us more sausage to make on Thursday mornings.
It is a messy process, and yeah.
Colleen Nardone, thanks for coming in today.
Yes, it's the shortest day of the year and the slipperiest one so far this winter, so I'm feeling pretty good about coming in. Thank you for having me.